This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
What was the focus of Pope Francis in this morning's audience?
That's right, John. That's the catechesis that Pope Francis gives every week. And the focus, John, well, Pope Francis was reflecting on St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, a continued catechesis on that letter. And today, the Pope really talked about the importance of getting back to the basics. And of course, the most basic of all things in Christianity is love. He said it's love that attracts and that can change the human heart. So looking at that letter to the Galatians, today the Pope said that message is really to return to what is essential to God himself, because it is God who gives life in Christ crucified. And to remember that in that encounter with Christ crucified, Jesus actually can change a person's heart. It can lead to understanding that the gospel is meant for everyone, not just for a privileged few. And so it's with that understanding that the life of the community generated through the Spirit and the lives of Christians can be renewed. And Christians in that way can then continue to engage in the spiritual battle. But Pope Francis said today that if anyone feels that they're struggling with this, as he said, that they're losing that spiritual thread, he said that he encourages them to place oneself in front of Christ crucified in the Holy Mass or in adoration of the Holy Eucharist. And he continued on today, John, to reflect then on the fruits of the Holy Spirit that, of course, we read about in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And Pope Francis said that all Christians are called to live out their baptismal calling, which leads to those fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits, of course, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today the Pope invited all faithful to read St. Paul's letter to the Galatians and then to reflect on our own behavior and ask that very poignant question, am I bearing those fruits? And so that's a toughie, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, one thing is, to meditate on Scripture and to follow the Holy Father's advice and read St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which, by the way, is very beautiful, very inspiring. One thing is to read it and take it in. Another thing is to actually put it into practice.
Oh, so true, because the question that follows, am I bearing those fruits, is, okay, why not? Why or why not? And that's when the difficulty begins as we start to peel back the layers and realize the ways that we can grow. But of course, we have so many opportunities for growth, especially in the ways that Pope Francis drew our attention to today, attending the Holy Mass, receiving the Holy Eucharist, and of course, praying there in front of the Holy Eucharist. And today, Pope Francis reminded all the faithful of the huge responsibility that everyone has to proclaim Christ crucified, to proclaim the risen Christ to all, and a reminder that the proclamation should be enlivened by the breath of the Spirit of love, because it is love alone that possesses the power to attract and the power to change the human heart, John.
Ashley, the Holy Father really likes to keep it to basics. I mean, this is the fundamental message of our Christian, of our Catholic faith. I mean, it's about love. It reminds me of, I believe it was St. John of the Cross who said that at the end of our lives, we're going to be judged on whether or not we were people of love.
Ugh, yes, exactly. And, the Pope admitted today that the teaching really does pose a challenge for all of us, for our communities of faith, but a reminder that the beauty of faith in Jesus Christ, it can't, it has to be something that can only come from the fruitfulness of love, and that love has to be nourished by prayer. And when those things are happening, that's when we see peace and joyful and joy that flow from that. That's the witness of those fruits of the Spirit alive in our hearts. So fortunately, we have a little bit of a formula for how to do it too.
Yeah, and the reminder of spending time in prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament, of receiving the Holy Eucharist. I mean, it's a reminder, but it's the absolute truth that the Holy Father is passing on to all of us. I mean, there is power in the Holy Eucharist. There's power in praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And again, these are just basic fundamentals that we all need to just be reminded of on a regular basis.
Right, exactly. Getting back to the basics, it sounds simple, but it sure is refreshing to just take a look at the brass tacks that we need in order to create that foundation for our faith life. So today was really meant to be a reminder of that.
On another note, there's been speculation for some time, and apparently Pope Francis will finally meet with President Biden at the Vatican this week. I believe it's this Friday.
Yes.
There's a little bit of controversy about this meeting. This will be his Biden's first meeting with the Holy Father as the president. He has met him in the past.
Yes. And as Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore recently said, you know, it's clear that the Pope doesn't agree with the president about abortion, and he's made that very clear. So that is one of the most contentious issues, of course, going into this meeting. We are waiting to hear exactly what the discussion will be about. No, many are speculating about the meeting, what's going to come out of it. It was assumed that Biden and Pope Francis would meet a couple of months ago when President Biden was in Europe, because typically the U.S. president does meet the Pope when coming to Europe, but that did not happen. So people are watching to know to see what is going to come out of this meeting. Many have pointed to Pope Benedict XVI's meeting with President Obama. And after that meeting, it was made clear by the Vatican that the men had discussed bioethical issues, had discussed concerns of life. And the Pope also gave President Obama a copy of the CDF document, the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith document, Persona Dignitatis. Now, that document was, of course, on the dignity of the human person. So I'm sure Pope Benedict XVI was hoping that President Obama was going to read that on the plane ride home, and hopefully he did. So now we are hoping and praying for something similar to come out of Friday's meeting, and that the Vatican will put out a clear, definitive statement afterwards, John. Let's see what happens.
The reason that this is newsworthy is because President Biden is the first Catholic president since President John F. Kennedy back in the 1960s. The first Catholic president since President Kennedy, because obviously there haven't been any since, and so there haven't been any other presidents that are Catholic that have met with the Holy Father.
Right, exactly. And so at this point, it is certainly a monumental meeting. And although the U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan at this point has generally said that the topics would be around things like migration, income inequality, etc. So hopefully those important moral issues will also be on the docket, John. Let's see what happens.
For sure. And we've discussed here on the show, in fact, we talked about it with you, all the many times that the Holy Father has spoken very clearly about the sanctity of life, walking in the footsteps of St. John Paul II, proclaiming the importance of protecting and defending human life.
Mm-hmm, exactly. He's certainly been unequivocal. That most recent statement in those very memorable words, abortion is murder. So that's certainly something that cannot be, his stance cannot be argued with. It's very clear where he's coming from. So we hope and pray that the President of the United States will also have a change of heart, and that the conversation will be a fruitful one.
Absolutely. That's definitely a good prayer for all of us. We need to continue to pray for all of our leaders, including our president. On another note, I understand that Rome has a new heart mobile clinic that's
yes!
flying around the city. What's going on?
That's right, exactly. So it's a very interesting initiative, John. It's called the Streets of the Heart. And this mobile clinic is actually has started in Rome. It's going all through all different stops in Rome, and it's eventually going to go all throughout Italy. And the point is to raise awareness about the prevention of cardiovascular diseases. So sadly, the rate of heart attacks in 2020 in Italy tripled. So imagine that in compared to just the year before, according to the Italian Society of Cardiology, the numbers skyrocketed. And then due to fear of the coronavirus, only one in two heart patients actually did follow-up visits. And so from that reality, this mobile clinic was born. And it's being staffed by doctors from Rome's San Carlo di Nancy Hospital. And so one of the special and most publicized size stops that the mobile clinic made was on Monday. They stopped at St. Peter's Square. And so for 9 hours, they saw around 100 people. Now, they were specifically aiming to serve homeless in the area. They were saying that this day was dedicated to the least. And that is because there are, sadly, a lot of homeless people who sleep outside of the colonnades of St. Peter's Basilica every night. And, of course, their other goal is to build a general awareness about the importance of ongoing heart health. Sadly, 35.8% of deaths in Italy are due to heart-related issues. So we're going to be seeing the Heart Mobile Clinic, the Streets of the Heart, as it's called, driving around Rome for the next few days until heading on to other destinations throughout the country, John.
Ashley, I can't help but wonder, does this have anything to do with Italian food that we all love? Or is there any other explanation why the rate in 2020 would go up three times?
Yeah.
That seems kind of unusual.
Well, it is, and especially because the Mediterranean diet is actually typically hailed to be heart healthy. So they're trying to find right now connections between COVID. It's the idea, were people more sedentary at home? Was it because people were experiencing an unusual amount of stress and fear? So these kinds of things are being linked to it right now as they're doing some further study to understand.
There's been news that a Vatican cardinal has made a diplomatic visit to the war-torn country of Syria that continues mm-hmm. to be in a civil war for now a decade. What's going on? What's the latest with that story?
Yes, John, and this is especially making big news because this is the Vatican's first official intervention after a number of years ago when they hosted the Prayer for Peace here at the Vatican at St. Peter's Basilica. And incidentally, as a side note, my husband John and I were asked to represent the United States during that particular prayer service, and it was so moving and powerful. But right now, the Italian Cardinal Leonardo Sandri, he's the prefect for the Congregation of Eastern Churches. He is in Syria. So he arrived on Monday and will stay until the 3rd of November. And the goal is to visit those forgotten Catholic communities of Syria, these people who have been tried by years of war and are just really in need of a pastor and feeling as though they have not been forgotten. Now, around 87% of Syrians are Muslim. The Christian population is around 10%. But that is the official number that really hasn't been able to take into account the large number of Christians who have fled over the last years during this ongoing war. So during these 8 days, Cardinal Sandri is going to make various stops. He'll go to Damascus, he'll go to Tartus, Homs, Yarmouk, Melulla, and Aleppo as well. And Aleppo, what was Syria's largest city, had the highest percentage of Christians before the civil war, about 180,000 Christians. In 2019, it was last estimated that it had dropped to 32,000 Christians. So this meeting really means a lot. So he is going to celebrate a divine liturgy with the patriarch there, the leader of the Melkite Greek church. He will have meetings with priests. He will visit Catholic charities, Catholic hospitals. He'll visit an orphanage. And he's also going to meet male and female religious in the area. And he'll meet them, in fact, at the memorial of St. Paul. Now, this is the very memorial that is believed to mark the spot of St. Paul's conversion. Remember, where Saul would have fallen from his horse on the road to Damascus. And so this is really an opportunity, of course, for the Vatican to bring morale and encouragement to these suffering people. I spoke to this morning a member of SOS Christians of the Orient, and they offer aid to Christians in Syria. They have permanent missions there. They bring essential supplies and emergency needs like food, water, blankets, electricity. They have also engaged in rebuilding projects, agricultural projects, etc. They say that the needs are countless. They say the situation is alarming. The task there is immense. So many thanks to SOS Christians of the Orient, the work they're doing. And we hope that this visit of Cardinal Sandri of the Vatican will really bring attention to the needs and suffering of these people, especially the Christians there in Syria, John.
It sounds like a tremendous visit for the Cardinal, and to be able to be there at the very spot where St. Paul had his conversion, it will be very special. And we need to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters of the Eastern Rites, of the other rites of our Catholic faith. There's so many rites that a lot of times folks forget that there's 20 plus rites in the Catholic faith, and not just the Roman rite, but, you know, our Melkite Greek Catholics, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans. We need to continue to pray for all of them.
Exactly. And in addition, in Syria itself, they also have the Latin, the Armenian, the Syriac, and Eastern Orthodox churches there. So exactly, our brothers and sisters in Christ who we have to keep very near and dear to our hearts, John.
Well, fall has definitely begun here in the States. It's a little nippy here in the morning. I understand that weather is also making news in Italy. What's going on with the floods taking place there in Italy?
Yes, you know, imagine there's actually red alert warnings right now in Sicily and as well as Calabria. There's just extreme weather, especially the city of Catania in Sicily has been absolutely devastated by floods. There are at least two reported deaths right now, and the violent storms are continuing. So what's happening is that the streets are basically submerged, businesses, schools, everything's closed. Only emergency places like pharmacies are allowed to be open at this point. There is a report of a 53-year-old man who drowned. He was getting out of his car, carried away by the waters. There is also a 67-year-old man who drowned, and his wife has not yet been found. There have been landslides, and in the meantime, there's also, and from the agricultural perspective, there's great concern for crops, for the olive harvest. And they're wondering if this severe weather could actually turn into a very rare Mediterranean cyclone. It's known as the Medicane. And so they're concerned that as soon as tomorrow, we could have a Medicane. So please continue to keep the people of this area in your prayers, of Sicily, of Calabria, and also particularly of Catania, as they're dealing with this flooding and this very severe weather, John.
And I'm sure this is something that's hitting home for our friends in New England who have been experiencing some severe weather themselves with the nor'easter that's going on there. You also have a story to share about a newly beatified holy young woman who dedicated her entire life to serving the poor.
That's right. Exactly. In fact, she is our church's newest beatified person on the 24th of this month. She was baptized, or excuse me, she was beatified by a mass, the prefect for the Congregation of the Causes of Saints. And in his homily, he spoke about her heroic faith. And in fact, just 3 days before the tragic accident that took her life, this young girl named Sandra Sabatini, she had written in her diary about her life. She said, "It's not mine. It's beating by a regular breath that is not mine. It's enlivened by a peaceful day that is not mine." And so this beautiful example of her personal surrender. And even from when she was a little girl, John, people noted, people saw that Sandra was different. She often carried a little rosary in her hand. As a little girl, she would go and pray in front of the Eucharist, kneeling so sweetly, bowing her head. In fact, because her family moved into her uncle, who was a priest, into his parish, she had access to the church and in the middle of the night would get up and pray right there in front of the Eucharist. Now, when she was 12, she met the priest who founded the John the 23rd community, and they emphasized service to the poorest and the weakest in society. So she began to volunteer. She volunteered with people with disabilities, with drug addicts. Eventually, she enrolled in medical school at the University of Bologna because it was her dream to one day serve as part of medical missions in Africa. But then dear Sandra Sabatini, at just 22 years old, was on her way to a meeting of the Pope John the 23rd community. She stepped out of a car and she and a friend were hit then by a passing car. She was rushed to a hospital. She spent 3 days in a coma and then died on the 2nd of May of 1984. So newly beatified just a few days ago. So with that said, we ask that Blessed Sandra Sabatini pray for us, John.
Absolutely. We will definitely keep her in our prayers and ask for her prayers as well. Blessed Sandra Sabatini. There's a couple of celebrations going on in Rome. And of course, we have the feast of St. Simon and Jude tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How is all this going to be celebrated?
John, not many people realize that there are actually relics of St. Simon and Jude in St. Peter's Basilica. So this is where tomorrow pilgrims will come from throughout the city to pray, especially in the chapel of St. Joseph. Of course, on this year of St. Joseph, it just happens to be in that chapel where those relics are kept. So we remember those great saints. This is a special time to invoke the intercession of St. Jude, the patron saint of impossible causes, and ask these great saints on their feast, who we will celebrate here in Rome as well, to pray for us, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.